Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, many of you will know my next guest as the Dancing with the Stars backstage presenter, or indeed his alter ego on social media, Malahide Woman. But at just 10 years old, his parents were told to get ready for the worst because he contracted meningitis at that stage. And very thankfully, he made it through, and he's here to tell us his story. James Patrice, lovely to have
you. Claire, thanks for having me. Your studio was beautiful.
Oh, God, I'm glad you approve. I must say,
and your bomber jacket. You look class.
You approve of everything.
I do.
Listen, I normally we'd be having a chat and we'd have a big smile on our faces. This is a different sort of conversation.
Yeah.
Because you're going to go back to that time, which I think, am I right in saying it's difficult to talk about it?
It can be sometimes, yeah. Because ultimately a very positive experience, and a positive outcome rather, sorry, not a positive experience. But it is kind of, you know, something that I think about every day in a kind of grateful way. I've got a gratitude around it, and the fact that I did survive it and I managed to have no kind of after effects from it. But yeah, it's not something that you'd be too joyous to discuss all the time. But I think just this week, World Meningitis Day, I'm an ambassador for the Meningitis Research Foundation. So they always say each year, would you mind spreading the word there?
Getting the word out so that people are aware of the symptoms. So we're going to talk now about what happened. So we're going back to the year 2000.
Yes.
And it was just after Christmas.
Yes. So it was the 3rd of January. So Y2K. All of that fun had hit, and I was at home and I literally just got a bit of a tummy bug, which wasn't that uncommon at the time, you know. And I'd had probably 74 selection boxes in the last week, and I thought, oh, I don't feel too good. And my mum said, sure, lie there in the sofa, you'll be grand, you know, get yourself sorted. And as the night went on, it didn't really change. It didn't maybe necessarily get worse, but it wasn't getting better. And I said, that's a bit weird. And mum said, sure, you know, but tonight get into the bed with your father and I, and we'll just keep an eye on you. I said, no problem. And then about 5 or 6 a.m. I woke up and I said, okay, this is it. I need to get sick. And I thought, finally, I'll be free of this. Mm-hmm. Went into the bathroom, tried to vomit, nothing happened. And then my mum popped in to check on me, and she saw on my legs red dots.
Ooh,
starting to appear.
Very bad and sign, isn't it?
It's kind of the number one. The thing about meningitis, of course, you can have all the symptoms, you can have none of the symptoms. But my message always is, know them, you know, because that's half the battle.
Did you have a headache?
No.
That's extraordinary,
no,
isn't it? Because it is the inflammation of the lining of the brain.
Well,
I know all of this because I went through the same thing when I was 14.
I know, Claire. I couldn't believe it when the foundation told me that's we're sisters.
We are. We're sisters in pain, right?
We are, yes, yes. But someone saw the red dots on my leg and she said, oh, this is not good. And she had seen an ad or something on TV, and that stuck in her mind. So at the time, our local GP, he's passed on since, Dr. Padiachi, he lived near us. We started banging his door down at 6 in the morning. Say the neighbours didn't know what was going on. And he came down, he looked and he said, oh, that's meningitis.
Were you conscious at this stage?
I was in and out. Mm. So I wasn't fully unconscious, but I was very drowsy at this stage, getting progressively drowsier. And the doctor said, go straight into Temple Street, don't get an ambulance because there's no time, but I'll call ahead. So I remember Dad broke every red light going in. I remember being in the back seat, kind of in and out, and my mum was saying, you'll be okay, James, you'll be fine. Got in. Got into the A&E, and I remember I passed out then. And then I woke up and it was full ER. I was lying in the bed. They were cutting my clothes off. How many fingers are we holding up, James? Then I remember my dad beside me saying, oh, you'll be okay. Then I kind of passed out again. Woke up in essentially a glass box, really, because I was obviously being kind of quarantined away from everyone. Mm-hmm. My family were given tablets to take in case, you know, they had gotten infected.
Did you have a lumbar puncture?
I did.
Not pleasant.
Oh, they're horrible there. Mm-hmm. You have one?
I was out for that. I was unconscious for that, thankfully.
I was in and out, and I remember I woke up, this is so vulgar, I farted through the whole thing.
For you, James. I expect nothing less.
And I remember saying to the doctor, I'm so sorry. And he said, you're okay, James, don't worry. But that was the oddest sensation ever. So then I was back in the kind of glass box area. And I remember two things happened. It was so unusual. I remember vividly seeing my sister Vanessa looking in at me. And afterwards, when it was all good, I remember saying, oh, Vanessa, you come in. I remember seeing you. And she said, I wasn't there, James, at all. What's she talking about? So obviously in my mind, I was meant to see her, or I had to see her. And then you know, as cliche as it is, they say about the light flashing. I remember there's a kind of a little back road that you drive up to get to our house, and you go by the castle there in Malahide. And I remember I was going up the road. I wasn't in a car, I wasn't walking, but I was being brought up the road, and I saw my mum, my dad, my sister, my granny, my nana, and then the next thing I woke up in intensive care.
So how close to death were you? Do you know?
They told my parents, when I get in there, they said the 48 hours are critical. He might make it in the next 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And that was after the 2 days, when I did make it through, I was 10 days in hospital in total.
Right.
Thankfully with no long-lasting effects afterwards. I remember when I was leaving, the professor, he was measuring my head to see if my brain had swollen, because it's all about, as you said, the meninges and the spinal fluid and everything. So all these things that you wouldn't even think of, really, that they're a big factor in it, you know. So,
and do you find that your parents don't like to talk about it? Because it's sometimes with these things, for us, it's bad. But
yeah,
for the people who are witnessing it, it's so much worse.
I can't imagine, because I remember for my mum to be told, and my dad, oh, here, the next 48 hours mightn't be great. And I suppose since then, I kind of feel, for a while, I think I felt maybe guilty even as when I was younger, because I think, God, I put them through that, you know, but I didn't put them through that. I know that. But it's weird, because every year, even on the 4th of January, we...
Oh, James.
Sorry there.
No, take your time. You're fine. You're fine.
Mortifying, sorry.
No, I completely understand it. You know, and I'm the same. The 24th of January,
yeah,
you know, always comes up in my house. And it's very difficult for my mother to talk about it because it's really hard to be told that your child is in that much danger.
Very,
you know? Much
so. So we always have a little celebration.
You mark the day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So tell me then about, you mean 10 days in hospital for someone who was so sick is a relatively short time. How were you afterwards? What was the recovery like?
It was weird. Thankfully, as I said, when I did leave the 14th of January, it was all good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I remember, I think I went in afterwards, I think 6 weeks later for a checkup and stuff, to check that it was still good. I mean, it was fine. I think I didn't go back to school for a few weeks because I think they were just saying, let him just kind of settle back, you know, into things.
But were you exhausted?
I'd say I was a bit tired.
Yeah.
But nothing more than that.
Right. And it was probably years later when you realised all of the people who've been through that experience and have, you know, life-changing implications.
Totally. And I remember that year, I'm not sure if you remember, Claire, it was the year 2000, there was a huge outbreak that January. And I remember there was articles and articles about it, and some people didn't make it that, you know, at that time. And I suppose what I kind of find is, there's so many horrendous things happening in the world. There's so many things that people have to live through. But sometimes meningitis can kind of
fall off the agenda a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I always say that the symptoms are there on the meningitis.org. I always say, screenshot them and just have them on your phone even. Put them into the school gate WhatsApp group, you know. Spread the word that kind of way, because knowledge is power, and it's all about timing.
Yeah, and particularly at this time of the year as well, with young adults going into college and living together in close quarters, these things can be passed around.
I remember when I started with the Research Foundation, the lady that kind of I met with first, she told me a story and it really stuck with me. There was a girl in the UK who had been, she woke up one morning, didn't feel well, but they'd all been out the night before. They were in freshers in college, whatever. And her friend said to her, "Oh, we'll let you sleep it off, don't worry." And a few hours later, she was dead. And it was meningitis.
Yeah.
They just didn't even think of it.
It can fly through. And you mentioned as well that your family got some medication to make sure that they were okay. Did your schoolmates, you were probably on school holidays, were you?
Yes.
Yeah, because I think my entire school had to take whatever that antidote
did
is.
They get a few days off?
Well, no, I don't think so.
Oh.
But it changed the colour of their wee. So they were all delighted about that.
They always remember that. But I remember at the time the doctor saying, you know, we were saying, how did this happen? And they said, it's so simple. I could have been in the middle of the supermarket. I could have been in mass Christmas Day and someone could have just coughed or whatever, because it carries at the back of the nose.
Mm-hmm.
So someone, it takes one little cough, you know, so people cover your mouths, please. We should do anyway. But that's as simple.
Yeah, it just depends on your vulnerability in that
exactly.
moment as to whether you'll react to it or not.
Absolutely.
So why then did you get involved in spreading the word about this?
Yeah, so I suppose when I kind of started doing, you know, bits on social media and TV and stuff, the foundation contacted me. I think I had done an interview once, I think, where it came up in conversation, you know, maybe facts you didn't know about me or whatever, and someone there saw it and they said, oh, would you be interested in becoming an ambassador and talking about it? And I said, yeah, why not? Because, you know, it's ultimately a positive outcome that I had and something that I think has shaped me as a person. Mm-hmm. Definitely. You're probably the same, Claire.
And your family are probably going, don't stop talking about it, James. Yeah, we don't want to think about it, but yeah, it is important to talk about it.
It is, definitely, because I think, and actually on the website they have, it's my meningitis, it's called. So I think they have 800 different accounts of people that have had it, where they give their own story. And that really highlights how it's not linear. You know, symptoms are so different. It can happen to anyone, any age as well. People might assume it's more so in children, but no, it can be. Actually, a lady messaged me on social media last week. I couldn't believe it. And she said, James, thanks for sharing the symptoms. She said that her husband, during lockdown, he was 63. He didn't have any symptoms, just felt a bit unwell. From the time they realised it was meningitis, a few hours later, he had passed away. You know, so that's how quickly it can be.
Yeah,
I'm sure you heard that as well, Claire. It's timing is very much essential.
And, you know, you have to be really on it, because oftentimes that rash doesn't appear, or it appears and perhaps it's too late at that stage.
Yes.
So you need to be aware of all the other symptoms
and
too.
And you could literally just say, oh, I've a bit of a headache. Or if you're older and you've light sensitivity, you might just think, oh, it's a migraine or something. Now, come here, I'm not telling all your listeners to be hypochondriacs either. Yeah,
but never be afraid to raise the alarm, get checked out and go to A&E, because that's not something that you hang around for, right?
No, it's just that the timing is everything.
Well,
it really is.
You mentioned the symptoms and screenshotting the symptoms, which I think is a great idea. So if people go to meningitis.org, they can get a list of the symptoms there and all of those testimonials and stories, just like James, you can see on the Meningitis Research Foundation website. It's World Meningitis Day on the 5th of October.
Yes.
And that's why you're here. And thank you so much, James, for
thank
coming
you.
In. And always lovely to see you.
Yeah, you too, Claire.
Thank you so much. It's James Patrice. We'll take a break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.